So much has happened lately. Let me take you back a couple of days and explain it all. I was driving down a barren, desolate highway in New Mexico. The song Hotel California comes to mind. I was headed for Juarez. We had a tip about Syndictive, and also, I was mentally planning a little mini vacation south of the border. To say that I was looking forward to it could be underlined by the fact that I was driving over 100. My friend Lita called.
Hey, Lita. FYI, I'm recording, okay? So, what's up?
Hey, we got something better on exclusive order.
Better?
Yeah, better than Juarez. If you can get to Chicago by Friday, we might have our best lead yet.
I had spent a couple of nights preparing to head into Juarez, but I turned around. Chicago was a 24-hour drive back the other direction. I had 2 days to get there, and I was already tired.
Exclusive Order is a fictional story told by real people.
Since I've started putting out these recordings, hackers everywhere have been offering support. Tips, leads, donations. Seriously, thank you, everyone. Totally awesome. Bitslapped, Preacher, Prairie Fire, Johnny Free, really the whole gang, they're fielding tips in their spare time. Everyone is taking a handful from that 500 Bitcoin donation, and everybody's helping out. It's been amazing. So, Lita called. She told me Juarez is a moot point, and I needed to head to Chicago. I drove into the grassy median, dodged a cactus, came out the other side of the highway, swung a U-ey, and immediately headed back the way I came, away from Mexico, toward Chicago. Lita's source, who she trusts implicitly but hasn't revealed even to me, said Syndictive had learned of a device just like the one Exclusive Or planted at the NSA. Raspberry Pi, Debian, same ports, curating traffic in the same way. It appeared to still be active as well and tightly encrypted. We found it on one of their VLANs, and unlike the NSA hack where her device was streaming hacked data to her servers, this time we think Exclusive Or planned to go back and get it. But for some reason, she didn't. Or couldn't.
I think you have to get that device.
Well, who else knows about it?
Well, besides us and Syndictive, I guess no one.
What about the feds?
Well, you gotta figure the feds would have just gone in and grabbed it, right? So...
Lita was right. If the feds knew, they'd have it already. And FYI, Syndictive is the guy we think Exclusive Or is after, because we think Syndictive killed her brother Sergey. Syndictive knows Exclusive Or is looking for him. He's undoubtedly trying to hide his tracks. Best way to do that? Get the device before us. We couldn't let that happen. And that means I had to go in. I'm horrible at this stuff, as you will soon learn. But I was in the best position to get to Chicago undetected. Flying covertly takes a minimum of 72 hours planning. We had less than 48 before our anonymous tip said Syndictive's man would be there. Also, I hadn't planned to be away for as long as I'd been, and things were going south back home. I'll get into that more in a minute, too. As for infiltrating the law firm where the device is planted, I had butterflies in my stomach already.
Man up. It's got to be you, or we may lose this.
It's a long drive from the almost Mexican border to Chicago. I love to drive, but it puts me to sleep. To stay awake, I thought about this case so far, how Exclusive Or did a physical hack on the NSA, then base-jumped from the top of a skyscraper in Dallas, botched it, frightened a woman at the top of a building, and probably hurt herself. Then... I almost fell asleep. Then, mile markers, rumble strips, I woke up nearly off the road and swerved back on. Adrenaline beats caffeine anytime. Now I was wide awake, and to pass the time, I thought about what I knew about Chicago. Since I was in a hurry and in a car, naturally this came to mind.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Belushi and Aykroyd in a Blues Brothers classic moment, and I got to thinking about Claire, who probably loved that movie. Claire's the woman Exclusive Or startled at the end of her base jump. Claire went to the police, they recorded an interrogation video, and several months later we hacked the servers, found that video, and fell in love with Claire and her bizarre story about being attacked by the Batman. Then I was growing sleepy over the monotonous road, seeing weird things, when suddenly lights and sirens made me jump. Luckily, they were after someone else. That woke me up for a few hours as I considered Exclusive Or, this dark web legend who we couldn't believe was involved in this bizarre tale. But there she was in those FBI memos we found in the hack.
Then I couldn't take it anymore. I was so tired.
I pulled off onto the dusty ditch in a long, flat chunk of Texas or Oklahoma, and crawled into the roomy backseat and crashed out, dreaming of the things I could do with the rest of that $500,000 donation someone made to the collective. Sleep was blissful. Until there was a rapping on the window and the light was shining in my face. I was disoriented and I didn't know where I was, and I couldn't tell who was shining the light or see anything through the fogged up window. I unlocked the door and I opened it. And I admit this was an insanely stupid thing to do, but I was sleepy and not thinking straight. An authoritative, gravelly voice asked me if I was okay. I thought, dang, a cop, the last thing I need. Then he told me, see that hill over there? He shined his light toward a barely visible hill just off the highway. We were maybe a football field away from it. He says, see that hill? On the other side of it is the state prison. You don't want to sleep here. Turns out the cop was the second to the last thing I needed. Turns out I was no longer sleepy. At least for a couple more hours. When I couldn't take it anymore, I hunted for a well-lit truck stop and again crawled into the back seat. That's when Lita called back.
Hey, sorry to wake you.
Yeah, it's been tough to get sleep, so what's up?
Are you recording?
Yeah, I'm getting low on burner phones, but I've got things to set up to record all my phone calls and voice calls automatically.
Okay, good. I thought you'd want to use this recording in your radio thingy, so listen.
What in the name of actual is
Is there a single... Whoa, what's this?
Vindictive.
Seriously?
Right on your stupid fucking noses?
Yeah, we finally got something.
You bunch of...
Oh, man, he sounds pissed.
Oh, yeah, he is. That recording is only a couple hours old. He's pissed because he found our source, the one that leaked the tip about the device in Chicago.
How did we get this recording, this of him yelling?
Well, yet another source. They heard your recording and sent it to us. The source is in the syndicate, too. They're unraveling.
As Lita explained to me, this was our second insider. The syndicate, Syndicta's version of the collective, is being rocked. Suddenly, there were leaks everywhere, and people were listening to my recordings and trying to help.
Stinky Man, you have to get to Chicago.
After I talked to Lita, I hit the road again, but only drove for another hour before I had to pull over. I was just too exhausted. While I slept, I had a dream. Most of my dreams are weird. I know, big news, right? Everyone's dreams are weird. But I mean, in my dreams, I always win. I always succeed. It's like I can't fail. I always get the girl. I have a big bank account. I catch the bad guy. It's kind of like the sequence in every sad movie where at first they're all happy and content, and then as soon as you see them driving on a mountain road or near a river, you know something bad will happen and it's going to get sad soon. Except in my dreams, it never gets sad. In the dream I had on this night, I save Exclusivore. She needs finding. She needs saving. And I find her. And I save her. And she falls all over herself telling me how great I am. She goes online and gushes. And because she's already a legend, everyone on the dark web is like, Distinctive is the man! Later, when I awoke, I wondered, wow, am I sexist? This dream may say a lot about me. In the dream, Exclusivore hates AC/DC and loves Ed Sheeran. She quotes entire movie scenes verbatim, almost acts them out, like the church scene in The Untouchables or in The Empire Strikes Back when Darth Vader slices off his own son's hand at the wrist. She acts them out. Dreams like that just seem legit, you know? Where do dreams come up with these details? What's she like in real life? What's her favorite food? Does she smoke? Is she a Trekkie? I don't know. Maybe I never will, but I want to find out. When I think of the stuff I'm doing, I wonder if it's worth it. Then I think, yeah. Yeah. It's worth it. An alarm woke me from my dream. I had my energy back. I grabbed a shower in the truck stop, grabbed a pack of powdered sugar cake donuts, filled my thermos with coffee, my car with gas, and hit the road. So we got a tip about some device planted at a law firm in Chicago. We were hoping to get there by Friday. We weren't sure what it was exactly or what it would tell us, but the tipster said Syndictive wanted it badly and would be trying to get it by Friday. This was our best lead. It was Thursday. I was behind schedule, so I did some recon from the car. I'm about to fish. It's to a voice phone call what fishing is to email. Gratefully, my car is quite nice, and the road noise is minimal.
Barnaby Saxon Peabody.
Yes, is Benjamin Jones available? Can I talk to him?
Well, there's no Benjamin Jones here.
When you social engineer, you're conning people. You're getting them to do something that isn't in their best interest. But instead of selling them a timeshare or a bridge, you're usually trying to get information you can use for a hack. Sounding stupid is a good way to get what you want.
You have the right place, sir, but there's no one named Benjamin Jones working here.
Can I just leave my message?
No. Benjamin Jones does not work here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, all right. Well, thanks for your help. What was your name?
Emma.
Okay. Thanks for your help, Emma.
You're welcome.
I knew Ben didn't work there, and as far as I know, Ben doesn't even exist. I did all of that because I needed the receptionist's name, Emma, and I needed to sound natural doing it. And yeah, this is shady. While I was driving, I pulled out my laptop, connected through the phone, and searched Emma Staff Barnaby Sachs Peabody. At the top of the results, I found her last name, her Twitter and LinkedIn profiles, which I skimmed as I drove the endless flat miles. I wanted to be prepared to chit-chat about one of her favorite topics if I had to stall for time. Maybe I could just happen to bring up camping in Oregon, her home state, or how many lawyers she has to work with from Stanford, her alma mater's bitter rival. On the sly, of course. Then I took the battery out of that burner phone, dropped it into my double Faraday bag, and kept driving. I hoped I was ready. About that time, I got up my next-to-last burner, and Lita sent me a message on Signal. It said, "Ruf mich jetzt on." So, I called her back.
Hey, Tinkerbell.
Hey, what's up? You sent, like, a message in German.
Yeah, Sony's pranking me. He hacked my phone. Now everything I type gets translated to German before it's sent.
That's classic.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. Hey, so... look, I wanted to play something for you.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
How do you want to be treated by your antivirus software? The Security Generation's industry-leading antivirus and anti-spyware security software...
Okay, that is Syndictive. It's an old infomercial we found on YouTube.
No way.
I think he was a salesman.
Simple is strong.
Here's what happened. Remember before we heard audio when a member of the syndicate covertly made a recording of Syndictive going on a rampage during a web conference? This one.
What in the name of actual is...
You get the idea. Several years ago, our elite hacker Q discovered an internal YouTube database of signatures of audio from all their videos. He made friends with some of the YouTube developers, helped them with their algorithm, and we get access to the database whenever we need it. YouTube uses it to track usage of copyrighted music in the videos. You feed it some audio, and it will search for a match throughout their massive database. It's incredible. Lita said Stoney sent the Syndictive tirade audio to our guy at Google, and he ran the audio signature against their database and found Syndictive's voice match in one other video, that one that Lita just played for me. Because I'm driving and she's playing it over the phone, I asked her to describe the video.
It's this normal-looking guy in a suit. He's selling some security software, antivirus software. He looks normal.
Normal? So what's normal look like?
Like an average Joe. He's got like short, mediumish brown hair, blue eyes, suit, nice smile. God, I hate to say this, but he's actually pretty good looking.
What does Stoney think about it?
I don't know. We're not talking right now.
Oh, because of the German thing?
No. Last night, he set fire to the couch and pushed it off the balcony.
What?
Yeah, anyway, so whatever. This guy in the video, though...
Well, wait a minute. So Stoney might not be talking to you or you to him, but do you think that he'll talk to me? Can you ask him?
Does Stoney ever talk to you on the record?
Well, I know he's big on the digital privacy, but can you at least just ask him?
Hey, Who's that? Will you talk to Tinkerbell? He's flipping you off right now.
Oh, classy. So, great. All right, well, I gotta go, so thank you.
No, hey, wait. One more thing about his accent.
Lita had one more request. She asked me to send the audio and the video from Syndictive to our FBI insider, Sam Fishburne. He's not exactly with the FBI, but he knows a guy who knows a guy. We're looking to figure out where Syndictive's accent is likely from. Somewhere around London, we think, but that's millions of people. If we can tell where he grew up, our thinking is we can research old newspaper clippings, geotag social media posts, school yearbooks, etc., and using the image from the YouTube video, match him and find his real name. Get his real name, and my collective will have his life story in 24 hours. Right after I hung up with Lita, I got another call.
Hey, Johnny Free, what's up?
Not much, but you got a minute?
Yeah, definitely. I'm just staring at a road, you know, trying to stay awake.
Well, your mom called this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, your dad's putting up more razor wire.
Seriously?
That's what she said. Say, are you recording this?
Yep, I decided if I'm in a one-party state, I'm just going to record everything.
Well, good. A hacker mentioned on the flow board that he'd heard me. Even gave me a couple of ideas that I'm working on.
Hey, all right, you got some fans.
Well, I don't want fans. I certainly don't want to be famous like you. But I think these are actually helping me generate some leads. BitSlap and Prairie Fire said the tips are rolling in.
Very cool.
Yeah, anyway, your parents should be okay. I just thought I'd let you know.
All right, well, thanks, man. Hey, before you go, could you locate me some burner phones in Chicago? We'll need probably like a dozen.
A dozen? Yeah, that's no problem. There's tons of places up there.
All right. Well, thanks for the heads up on Dad. I'll call my folks.
Okay. Get you later.
All right. See ya.
I hung up with Johnny Free just after St. Louis. At this point, I'm a bit under 4 hours to Chicago.
Chicago.
I'm nervous, and I go through it all in my mind. I know the law firm where I need to go. Before I go there, I need new burner phones, probably a place to buy a delivery guy uniform and maybe some flowers, and a new Bluetooth earpiece that could pick up my voice and the voices of the people around me. It's a handy way to record a conversation legally. I stop near Springfield for gas and candy bars and to use the restroom. I surreptitiously connected to their Wi-Fi, routed through a couple of our VPNs, and sent a secure message to Fishburne. I uploaded the video and audio Lita had sent me and asked him to locate the accent, gently reminding him of our deal. Before I hit the road, I use the restroom again. When I get nervous, I have to pee constantly. Then I started planning my pretext for getting past Emma and getting that device. Not only did I have to get past Emma, I had to find out where in a huge law firm that device was hidden. I didn't know how I was going to do that, and I have a confession. My hacking skills? Eh. While I filled up with gas, a guy in a clean t-shirt, brand new boots, and a trucker's hat perched awkwardly on his head approached me and asked about the car. Did I like it? What kind of mileage did it get? Was it quiet at highway speeds? It might have all been just innocent guy chit-chat, but I was wary of him. Since I was followed in Dallas and woken by a cop in New Mexico or Texas, I've been a little on edge about whether I was truly off the grid with my car. Having said that, I thought it was ridiculous that I could be tracked. You see, I bought the car and a handful of burner phones in Dallas and drove directly to a small town in New Mexico, where I spent 2 days with one of the most renowned mechanics on the dark web. That's where he advertises his discreet auto-anonymizing service. He strips cars of all tracking devices like Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, GPS, even Sirius satellite radio. He kills the black box, gets you new plates and clean VIN, and on the title, the car is owned by an anonymous New Mexico corporation that has already gone out of business. Like hundreds before me, I rolled into that small town on the grid. I rolled out of that small town off the grid. I hope. Maybe he missed something. Maybe they followed me all the way there. This kind of thing fries my nerves. In social engineering, human hacking, you need a pretext under which you are approaching your mark. You're an actor. The pretext is, what role are you playing? Something like lost client looking for his appointment, or repairman coming to fix something. I chose delivery man delivering flowers. Flowers in the office are always a distraction. Just what a social engineer like me needed. And I have a confession to make. I'm horrible at hacking, of any kind. I'm a squib. Remember Filch in the Harry Potter books?
Was it out on detention would find you hanging by your thumbs in the dungeons? God, I'll miss the screaming.
Filch was a squib. He was a wizard who couldn't do magic. I'm a hacker who, well, I can't hack. It's embarrassing. BitSlapped is always taunting me. It's also nerve-wracking. I thought of this as I left yet another public restroom because, you know, I have to pee like every 10 minutes. Ugh. Luckily, Q can hack. Since we knew the law firm where the device was planted, Q found their external IP, broke in, and scanned the network for devices. The network was segmented but poorly done, and the device was in a VLAN with just one other computer, the receptionist's desktop. So, most likely, it was at or near the receptionist station. I asked Q how he knew it was the right device.
Well, the device signature matches a Raspberry Pi, almost identical to the one the FBI found at the Bank of America. And I'm never wrong.
And how does it feel to never be wrong about this stuff?
Powerful. Feel powerful, man.
We figure the device is plugged in somewhere around the receptionist's desk. That narrows it down for me, but also, based on some pictures of the office we found online, the receptionist is in the most visible part of the office, right out in the open with a small cube farm nearby. I'll need an invisibility cloak to go get it. About this time, Lita sent me another text in German. I recognized a few words, including Rasierkabel, German for razor wire. I translated the whole phrase, which said roughly, "Your mom called. Your dad is installing razor wire again." It was time to check in with Mom.
Hey, dear.
Hi, Mom. What's this I hear about Dad putting up more razor wire?
Well, it's getting rusty, so he decided we needed to do an upgrade.
I knew something was wrong. I mean, rust would make razor wire more effective, right? Tetanus and all? Anyway, this told me something bigger was bothering them.
Well, I think I got hacked.
Oh, no. What happened?
I couldn't get into our Gmail, so I called the Gmail tech support.
Mom was pretty upset. Her and Dad just got new phones, and it was always a chore to set them up. It stresses her out. They like to do it manually. Mom was struggling for a couple of days to get it all working, including Gmail, and finally decided to call Gmail tech support for help. The problem is, Gmail does not have tech support. Here's the guys she called by accident.
Thank you for calling technical support. How can I help you?
Yes, I am doing a story on technical support that...
Just a moment, sir.
So they hung up. Places like that spam the web with their phone number, buy ads, and look legit when people are in a panic and stressed out. Then they con them into taking over their computers, saying they can help, and then they do all kinds of nasty stuff undetected. Am I the pot calling the kettle black? Yes. But this is my mom. You don't mess with my mom. I asked Mom why she let them take over her computer.
They said I needed to.
Okay, Mom. Well, so, you know, you shouldn't let people take over your computer, ever. But I sense that you were kind of stressed out by the phone stuff still, the setup of the phones?
Yes.
Is that why Dad's putting up the razor wire?
It makes us feel better.
I think technology is exciting for a lot of people, but there are wide swaths of people that are not excited by the breakneck pace of change online. It stresses them out, makes them feel vulnerable. Since I'm pushing the pace, I often forget about these people. So I told Mom it happens to all of us. I asked her to turn off their computer, unplug it, and take it to their friend Cindy in a couple of days. Cindy will clean it out, and they'll be fine.
Mom, can you tell Dad just to take a break for a while? I think your ranch is already a pretty good fortress.
Okay, dearie, I will.
Then Mom pulled the old switcheroo and changed the subject.
Lita says you're on your way to Chicago.
Yep.
Lita is really funny, but can you believe what Stoney did to their cows?
Yeah, he set it on fire.
Lita's such a dear. Why don't you have someone like her in your life?
All right, Mom, I gotta go. So I'll talk to you when I'm back in state, okay? So I'll show you my new car.
Okay, bye, dearie.
Bye.
I love you.
Mom and I hung up as I rolled into Chicago. We didn't have a ton of time, so I got right to work. Remember law firm Emma from earlier?
Barnaby, Saxon, Peabody.
So I wanted her name because I wanted to send her flowers. Nice of me, right? Not really. I wanted to bring her flowers because that's the easiest way to distract her, and I needed to distract her to get that device. I hit record on my Ubuntu phone, my only non-burner phone, and called Q. I'm recording the call, too, and you can hear the people first in the uniform supply store where I bought a generic delivery guy uniform and then changed into it.
Are you here to pick something up?
Still recording, I stopped by a florist and bought flowers and balloons.
How can I help you?
I also used their restroom. And I kept recording and walked to the law offices of Barnaby, Sachs, and Peabody. For a good 20 minutes, I stood outside, just to the right of the law firm where the smokers stood. I got funny looks because Q was giving me a pep talk as I struggled to find the nerves to walk in.
Just relax, man. This is easy. Offices love these distractions from the mundane. Trust me, they got nothing going on in their lives. They're grateful.
Finally, with Q, the pro, talking to me, the squib, through my Bluetooth earpiece, I took a deep breath and...
All right. Here I go. Delivery for Emma.
Flowers at the office always means there's A, a secret admirer, or B, a spouse that did something bad. And office jockeys like you and me, well,
wow.
We like that drama. The stories.
It's gotta be from God.
While Emma and her coworkers gossiped and created a couple of rumors, in my ear, Q prompted me.
All right, man. Now you gotta go behind the desk and see if you can find the pie.
I moved around behind the reception desk. It was big and curved, and it was totally improbable that I should be behind it. There was literally no plausible excuse that Q and I could come up with for me being there. I felt like I was on a stage, and I was thinking so much about what I'd say if I was caught, I forgot to look for the device.
Hey, D. D, are you there?
Yeah. Sorry, I don't see it, but there's tons of sticky notes with passwords and stuff like that.
Okay, that. You gotta get that stuff. Take out your phone, take some pictures. Just, tell them all that the admirer wants some pictures.
Okay, alright. Hold on. Hey, Emma.
If you practice, you can take pictures casually with your right hand while you're gesturing to a large group with your left hand. This I did. And I got pictures of passwords, car keys, documents, the unlocked computer monitor.
A little bit more. Okay.
Then the group walked off to the break room to find a vase and water, and I crouched down, felt around the back of Emma's PC tower, and found the device. And then...
What are you doing?
Crap. Busted. I snagged the device and shoved it in my pocket. Panic. Adrenaline. At this point, the whole office is looking at me like I'm a criminal, which, of course, I am. So, I ran. I got out of there, around the corner, then stopped to catch my breath and thank Q for his angel-on-the-shoulder guidance. I took out my Bluetooth earpiece and hung up the call. I took off my uniform top and hat and stuffed them into a storm sewer. I looked like a normal guy in a t-shirt, not at all like the guy the police might soon be looking for. I felt good. All that cost me to recover Exclusivore's device was $40 in a fake uniform, $40 in flowers, 1,000 new gray hairs, and probably a year of therapy. As I strode away, I was proud. I glanced behind me, looking for police, as I wound down alleys and side streets, heading back to where I hid my car. I've heard people say that courage isn't the absence of fear, but the overcoming of it. Bitslapped is always saying that. I felt courageous for getting the device. Then, I felt my stomach lurch. Because at that moment, I turned into an alleyway and walked right into a pair of guys, each holding a gun. They looked like minions from a Cold War spy movie. First Minion says in a thick accent, "I love how you retrieve that. I watched. Very bold. Give to me." He held out one hand and leveled his gun with the other. I asked him if he wanted my wallet, and he said, "Yes, thank you. And the device. Give device to me." I told him the wallet was full of cash. I told him he could just have it. He said, "Thanks." He said, "He'll take the wallet and the device. Give device to me." Then he used my name. He said, "Distinctive. Give to me the device." I handed him the device and he said, "Thank Eloelita for me." Thank you. Thanks for listening. Exclusive Ore is a Straight to Audio and Mockumentary.com production and was written, produced, and performed by Distinctive. That's me, Hans Anderson, along with friends and family, Crystal Finney, Matt Stevens, the famous artist Pablo Quiñones, Carol Heath, John, Harriet, and Mia Anderson. Please visit HackingCollective.com for bios of all the voices, the characters they portray, and more about hacking, Bitcoin, online security, and Exclusive Ore. Oh, that your frowns would teach my smiles such skill.